The Fargo PD says it has arrested the man they've been looking for weeks in the disappearance and murder of a West Fargo woman. The federal government says AI might be taking some jobs, but the Trump economy is overwhelming that with private sector hiring. And Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says, if you reporters won't tell the American people all the good things the president is doing, then I will. Good morning, my friend. Steve Alsham here with you. Glad to be with you here on this Wednesday morning. It feels like we found spring here all of a sudden. It was in the low 30s yesterday, and it's only going to get warmer, looks like, as we head toward the weekend. That's a good thing. Makes us feel pretty good. January was a cold month. Dino said it was only like a degree or two below average, but gosh, it felt like it was a long slog below zero for most of the month. So glad that we are thawing it out a little bit. Addison is still awake this morning, which is a good thing. He's been coming in doing the morning show. Kevin is on vacation here for a couple of weeks, so Addison's getting the early wake-up call. I just brought him one of my monsters out of the fridge in my office. Now, brother, I wish I had for you one of the ultraviolets. That's my favorite one. It's kind of a grape, little hint of citrus. Sugar-free, so you can feel it's a health food. I mean, you might as well slam it by the gallon. But I did have a peach one left, which is my second favorite flavor. So I hope that does you some good, my man, because I know what it's like to get up early and then sit early. And, yeah, I mean, you're kind of there. I've done the switching before. You're involved. But there are times when you sit there for 2, 3, 4 minutes, and if you're tired, the sleepies can catch up on you pretty fast.
Absolutely, yes. I did take a little sip of this, and it does taste really good. This is only, I think, like the third monster I think I've ever drank. I don't drink these too often, but this one tastes really good.
I try not to. I don't know there's a lot of redeeming value in a Monster Energy beverage. But again, remember, it's sugar-free. So
it is sugar-free.
It's health food. Yeah, absolutely. But sometimes you need it. And it won't kill you all in one time. I don't know that I drink five of them a day, but I probably pop one a couple times a week when I'm just like, oh, I need something. So I hope that serves you well, my brother.
Well, thank you. Well, I definitely owe you for it.
Well, believe me, when you need one, you need one. Whether it's coffee or whatever you got going, you gotta do what you gotta do. We got a busy show today. I don't think anybody's gonna fall asleep today on this program here. I'm not even going to try to preview this show because there's so much there. It would take me probably 10 minutes to get through all the stuff we're going to talk about. But I will tell you, Royce White coming up on the program today. And then one of the climate change warriors, Greg Wrightstone, will be with us. The right kind of climate change warriors in the 10 o'clock hour. And I'm going to break down that federal jobs report that came out today because there's a lot there and a lot good. But a couple of big questions that I have. I've also got a quote from a congresswoman, but not the congresswoman that I had on yesterday. One that is talking like she's banging the table about this Save America Act, and we got to get this through no matter what. And I love Julie Fedorchuk. I think she's done a very good job in D.C., but I wish that there was more urgency in what I heard from her about this question of what are you willing to do in order to get voter ID across the finish line? So we'll hear from Anna Paulina Luna, who is one who I think is leading on this issue. So we'll do all that coming up here today. Let's get going with the Morning Wire, semi-automatic storylines, rapid-fire rundown of everything that's happening as we begin the Steve Hallstrom Show here today. We start with the Weather Almanac. By the way, I saw a record high in Fargo today, 55 degrees. I was back in 2002. I think our average is about 21, and we're going to continue to be above that, so very thankful for that. We'll gain 3 minutes and 3 seconds of daylight today. Here in Fargo, we're going to see sunset at about 5:45, so love all that. Extra daylight, yes, please. I will take it all. In the markets today, we got some mixed results in early trading, but nothing really moving too much. Now, the Dow spiked this morning after that strong jobs report came in. But I think traders are taking a look into some of the details and going, I don't know if it's quite what we thought. And I'll explain that here in just a few minutes. But the Dow's up 35 points. S&P 500 basically unchanged. NASDAQ down 35. So not a whole lot of gains or losses either way. WTI crude oil up about $1.60, $65.50 a barrel. You heard Congresswoman Fedorchuk yesterday say that we could bump those oil prices up a little bit and still be in a good spot at the gas pump. So she's getting what she wanted this morning. Gold up $49 an ounce, silver up $3.17 an ounce, and Bitcoin down about $3,000 today. After sort of leveling off after a free fall, Bitcoin And a lot of the cryptocurrencies are now starting to fall again. So we may be going well lower in Bitcoin and crypto before it's all said and done. We'll see what happens there. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas is $2.93 a gallon. North Dakota, $2.55. Minnesota, $2.62. South Dakota, $2.63. Diesel fuel today at $3.66 a gallon. All right, stories in the news this morning. The big one, a man has been arrested on suspicion of murder in connection to the disappearance of a West Fargo woman named Isadora Wengel. You probably remember this story. We've been talking about it quite a bit. Wengel was first reported missing January 7th. They then kind of, the search went over to Otter Tail County and Lakes area where they were asking people to check their trail cameras and all that. Well, they have now made an arrest in this deal. And 21-year-old Joshua Height was arrested yesterday. He is facing charges of murder and tampering with evidence. He's in custody at the Clay County Jail. If you want to read more about this, you can go to am1100theflag.com. Our news team has a full story up there. A somber remembrance today. Jason Mosier passed away 10 years ago today. He was shot at that residence in near downtown Fargo yesterday, and Fargo police are going to have a memorial for him today. Morehead City Council had a chat last night in its meeting about, actually, I think it might have been Monday night, but recently, yeah, Monday night, talking about should we limit where ICE can do their law enforcement activity. Three council members, Deb White, Nicole Madsen, and Emily Moore, brought the topic to the table on Monday night. They did not take any action on this. They tabled it, and which is the only reasonable thing to do here, other than just say, what are you people thinking? Of course we let ICE do the job it needs to do here. What's going on here? So the cooler heads look like prevailed over there in Morehead. Fargo fire officials want to remind you to have a emergency plan if you have a house fire that also includes your pets. They say that six cats over the last month have died in house fires. People have been okay. But they say when you're making your plan, make sure you include how to get Fido or Fifi out of your house there as well. The Forum reports today that Mayville State University is going to pay a former volleyball coach there $75,000 to settle a gender discrimination lawsuit. Lindsay Johnson filed the case a while back, and in court proceedings that happened earlier this week, it was disclosed that the university is nearing a settlement of her with her because she has accepted an offer for about $75,000 plus recoverable costs after being fired in May of 2023. She made a complaint that the university discriminated against her on basis of her gender and that the school retaliated against her when she raised concerns about differences in pay and workload between male and female coaches. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz says he's been getting signs from the Trump administration that the federal immigration crackdown in Minnesota could end, quote, in days, not weeks and months. He says this comes after recent conversations with Trump administration officials. He said at a news conference that he spoke with Tom Homan and White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles Tuesday morning. He says we're in a very much in a trust but verify mode, but we are liking what we are hearing from the Trump administration. Valley News Live reports that some North Dakota state employees will be offered early retirement incentives because the state is trying to adjust to declining revenues, largely from low oil prices. Joe Morissette, who's the director of the State Office of Management and Budget, says state agencies have been notified of the plan and have until Friday to opt in. The early retirement incentive does not apply to K-12 schools or colleges and universities. They're going to be working on new budgets coming up in April. Valley News Live also reports that a North Dakota school district has lost nearly $5 million in a fraud scam. And we're all getting them, right? These emails that, I've got information on you. Well, Dickinson Public Schools fell victim to a email fraud scheme. Nearly $5 million went to a fake vendor, and it was a criminal posed as a trusted contractor. And one more here for you. People are drinking less Heineken. Heineken says it's going to slash up to 6,000 jobs in AI productivity savings. But the bigger problem is volumes of sales went down 2.4% over the course of 2025. So people are drinking a little less Heineken, and they're going to be cutting up to 7% of their workforce. When we come back on the program, the story of the day, a blowout jobs report, or is it? I'm coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. You've seen a lot of Lincolns driving around Fargo Moorhead, West Fargo. They're all coming from Wahpeton. And when you visit them down there, you'll understand why. They take great care of their people. And we're proud to have them as a sponsor of our studio each morning here on the Steve Holcim Show. Thank you to Ward and the team at Vision Ford Lincoln. They are setting the world on fire down there, not just sales, but the way they take care of you on the service side. Pretty amazing as well. You can call us today, 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. All your physical and mental health needs all in one place. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co, valleychristian.co. I will be live at Giving Hearts Day coming up tomorrow. Excited to do that. Head over there. And it's going to be what do you want to say? Your heart is going to soar with human spirit when you see what's going on there and all these wonderful nonprofit organizations. We're certainly going to be hitting all the news of the day. So it'll be basically a Steve Holcim Show on location, but we will have a couple of quick chats along the way with some of the people that are making our world go around here in our part of the world. It should be a fun day over there at Dakota Medical Foundation, Giving Hearts Day 2026. Still feels weird to say 2026. If you want to text me today, you can do that as well, 701-237-1590, or email me, studio@flagfamily.com, studio@flagfamily.com. All right, 921 here, and it is time to look at what I call the story of the day. And it's not every day that we get monster stories coming up before the Steve Holcim Show, but we got one at 7:30 this morning with the new Bureau of Labor Statistics jobs report for January. They were expecting something around 65 to 70,000 jobs. That was the expectation among economists after kind of reading the tea leaves. It came in at 130,000, so almost double. And what is a lot more rewarding for me to see, and if you are a veteran of the Steve Holcim Show and you were listening to me in the afternoons before we made the switch to the morning time slot, you heard me talk about this all the time during the Biden administration. Every time the jobs report would come out, you'd look to see, okay, where were we at? Were we adding jobs? And it was always government jobs that led the way. And when that wasn't number one, it was healthcare jobs, which is underwritten basically by Medicare and Medicaid. So it has been so refreshing to see that story changing. Government jobs were down 42,000. Down. That means private sector jobs increased 172,000. That is a monster number. We have not seen those numbers probably since the COVID bounce back. Unemployment percentage went down from 4.4 last month to 4.3. So that's good too. Wages were up 0.4%. Annually, the number has risen 4.5%. So the average worker in America up 4.5%. And it was up 0.4% month over month. So annualized, that's 4.8. So no matter how you look at it, we are having wage growth beating inflation growth. Okay? Because inflation, we're what, 2.8, 2.9, whatever it is, 2.7, depending on what thing you look at. Well, wages are rising faster than inflation. That did not happen under the Biden administration either. So, again, I feel like these things are easy to gloss over and just, okay, whatever, it's economic numbers that make me yawn. But don't sleep through these, because this is how the country is turning around under the president. Now, there is a, what do you want to say, a fly in the ointment? I don't know if anybody uses ointments anymore, but that's the old saying anyway. Revisions for the last 2 years, this would be the last year of the Biden administration and the first year of the Trump administration, were massively revised downward. 900,000 jobs that were reported that we gained in the last 2 years never really happened. I don't have the breakdown of what's last year and what's the year before, but we learned during the Biden administration that not only did we were we getting suspicious that these job numbers were cooked because every month they'd come out and they were revised downward, we also just learned that they weren't very good, Bureau of Labor Stats, at reporting this stuff and figuring out what the story was. The headline number comes out when it's announced like today, and then later on you find, oh, it wasn't as good as you thought. So I don't believe that the 130,000, 172,000, I just don't believe any longer that those numbers are fair, are completely accurate. Is there some truth to it? I sure think so. It sure feels that way from what I see here and what I read and what I watch on CNBC and Fox Business and that kind of thing. I believe the job market is doing better, but I do believe that employers are still reluctant to hire. I'm hearing that everywhere. So the 130, 170, I would be surprised if that doesn't get revised downward. Okay, fair is fair. We call balls and strikes as honest as we can here. Where do the jobs come from? Healthcare up 82,000, social assistance up 42,000, and then construction up 34,000, and professional business services 33,000. So those are your accountants, your lawyers, and so forth. 33,000. Now, you can say, well, I don't love that all the jobs come from healthcare and social assistance because those are largely underwritten by government. And that's true. I will give you that. But you've got in the construction and professional businesses, you've got 67,000. And that alone is a really good number. And government, as we said, down 42,000. I can't say that enough. Remember, in the Biden administration, government jobs was the biggest gaining sector year over year. And we want the local accounting firm to be hiring more people because that means there are more businesses out there, more people out there doing more. We want retailers to be hiring more because people are doing more buying. Okay, so what does all of this mean? Well, I've given you a little bit of the kind of the takeaways on this one here. I do think that the economy is heating up here in 2026. There's no way that we can say that it's not. But I think we have to realize the engine wasn't actually running as fast as we were all told in 2024 and maybe even 2025 as well. So I like where we're going on these things. I like that wages are outpacing inflation. So that's pretty good too. The hiring rate still is sitting a little lower at 3.3%, which is the lowest we've been in about 10 years. So in some ways, the market is kind of still stuck here. Now, the next question is, does the AI productivity that we're seeing offset the wage growth so that employers are not seeing labor costs really go up? And this is my take. I didn't get this anywhere else, but I think the answer is yes, but more so for the bigger players there. Wage is up 4.5% annually, but the companies that are most aggressively using AI are seeing their labor costs fall, and the bigger the company, the more likely it is for that to happen. So that's a good thing there. And Scott Bessent said yesterday that a credit card company that he talked to is moving people out of billing and customer service due to AI, but they're moving them over into their travel sector where they see some growth opportunities. So what is it going to mean as far as an interest rate cut? I think this honestly slows down and cools a lot of talk of interest rate cuts because the reason now was, well, inflation is still in that 2.5, 2.75, a little higher, but pretty good stability. But the labor market was a little bit dicey. And it seems that maybe the labor market is a little stronger than we thought. So maybe only 2 rate cuts instead of 3 coming up here later this year. When we come back, Royce White running for U.S. Senate. I first heard the name Royce White when I was in the Twin Cities and working, doing my job, and I heard about this phenom coming up through the ranks at De La Salle High School. And a guy who was about 6'7", could jump out of the gym, had a huge NBA future, and got to see him play on TV once or twice back then. And I remember thinking, wow, this guy is a talented guy. That's the first I had heard of Royce, and he went on to play college and NBA basketball, and now in recent years has become a strong conservative and someone who wants to put America first, as I have done a little studying from his website. And we're very thankful to have him on the phone here today on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Royce is going to be speaking at the North Dakota State GOP convention coming up March 28th and 29th in Minot. He's been kind enough to take a few minutes out of his busy campaign season to visit with us today. Good morning, Royce. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I appreciate that introduction. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it. I appreciate you making time. So tell us what you've been doing since you've been a pro basketball player. You obviously ran for Senate last campaign cycle and got the nomination from the Republican Party in Minnesota, and were not able to secure the election win at that time. But tell us, kind of bridge that gap between politics today and pro sports a few years back.
Well, first I want to say I wasn't able to secure the election, but the elections certainly aren't secure either. And me winning the nomination and the statewide endorsement here in Minnesota was a shot heard around the world politically. And, you know, for the most part, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this when I come speak in North Dakota, but primaries have been used all across the country to prune the political parties of their populist candidates, right? Anybody who will really upset the apple cart. It's actually a conventional prerequisite, and you know, most political experts and consultants there in D.C. that a Senate candidate has to have pre-committed to a lobby so that they could raise the 10 to 15, maybe $20 million they need to be competitive in one of these closely contested U.S. Senate races. And I think that's just absolutely abhorrent from the outset. I think that says special interest and lobby money runs our country. It runs the Senate. It runs the Congress in some terms or others. It runs the presidency and the executive branch as well, all the way down to the judges, the judiciary, and everything else that money touches is really hollowed out this country and our fundamental values. So that's kind of why I decided to run in 22 for Congress. I decided to run again in 24. You know, we've made big improvements and just in the Minnesota Republican Party is kind of, you know, winning a battle within the party from the more, let's call them, you know, traditional middle of the road mainstream Republicans. And I decided to run again in 2026. Most people see Minnesota is the belly of the beast. Fraud, corruption, sort of a sickness of, you know, philosophy, really, in the liberalism that's taken root here from our academic institutions, you know, our you know, higher education institutions all the way down to our elementary schools in some regard. But the bridge between professional sports and my political career is the same special interests and lobbies that are invested in the watering hole of a global corporate community in the NBA are the same special interests and lobbies that are running our country in D.C. It's the exact same, you know, thread of people and industry. So, you know, I've been in this fight since I was 21 years old. I won a political fight in the NBA. I said when I came into the NBA or I was drafted, I said mental health is the greatest social issue we face in society. And look, today we have a full-blown mental health crisis. So I was vindicated in my early fight.
You were ahead of your time. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was vindicated with my early fight against the NBA politically. And now that fight has turned into a full-blown political fight for the future of this nation.
So do you feel like you are making headway in this second fight now to kind of get the, I don't want to say get the money out, but maybe change the way that's done or get people to understand maybe more about how money plays in? How do you feel like you're doing raising awareness on that and fighting that battle?
Well, you know, as dangerous as the internet has become to our society and propaganda misinformation is as easy to disseminate and push around as ever. I said the other day, and this is my opinion, that, you know, certain people in alternative media on the internet, podcasts have just become another iteration of what the mainstream media was on cable television. But with that being said, there is still a certain decentralized nature to the internet and podcasting and all of these other platforms and individuals who are starting to amass huge audiences that have a different perspective and at least a tiny bit of truth that wasn't able to come through before can come through now. I'm one of those people. I have a podcast. I have a TV show on Real America's Voice on Saturday mornings. Plus, my own social media is gaining a pretty big following as well. So I think we are making headway. I will say, you know, we have to kind of thread a needle here. The question is, will we be able to sway the masses or the majority before the damage is irreparable?
You have a fight on your hands in the primary with three candidates, if my list is complete, that are also running for the GOP nod, which you won back in 2024. But also in the mix now, Michelle Tafoya, David Hahn, and Adam Schwartzy. Assess the field, if you will, and what you think your chances are in that group of candidates.
Well, I think I have a pretty strong chance being the last one to be endorsed. And I had 1.3 million votes, which is the second most votes in the history of the Minnesota Republican Party for a U.S. Senate candidate, other than the great Jason Lewis, who I'm a huge fan of and think that he has a really sound worldview as well. He used to be a congressman from Minnesota, people who don't remember. He also had a great radio career as well. It's a prime example of the fight I'm talking about in the Republican Party. David Hahn, our former Minnesota GOP chair, on the record, having paid somebody who ended up endorsing Kamala Harris and Tim Walz $30,000 for social media services. And that's just as far as we can tell. So there's a huge scandal that has still not been answered for from his time as our chair in Minnesota. Then you got Adam Schwartzy, who was a co-chair for Nikki Haley's campaign, which is absolutely embarrassing. Nikki Haley said there was no way we'd ever win a general election with President Trump. My, was she wrong? In this nation's darkest hour, President Trump prevailed, and the MAGA movement and America First movement prevailed. And then you have the latest iteration of that same line of thought, which is Michelle Tafoya, who in 2022 said, President Trump, 2023, said, President Trump, please don't run again. We all want to get back to normal. I guess she means the normal of being a sideline reporter in the NFL with a cushy salary where you don't have to say anything controversial at all. And, you know, by the way, she just happens to be pro-choice, which would make the Christian conservative base of the entire Republican Party, which has long been, you know, the beating heart of it for so many generations, a complete farce and hypocrisy, right? And so these are the things that we have to fight inside our own wire and inside our own camp before we ever meet Democrats in the open field.
And speaking of the Democrat field there, you've got Tina Smith and Peggy Flanagan on the Democrat side. Tina Smith is leaving, so Peggy Flanagan and Angie Craig are going to be in the mix on that side. If you are able to get the nomination again and come out of the primary, do you feel like you could beat either of those two candidates?
Well, absolutely. I mean, and, you know, we have a crisis again in this party from a political strategy standpoint where we think the only way to win is to appeal to the center, the moderates. Every election cycle, you hear people talking about the moderates. And the scam of that is in Minnesota, anybody who knows anything about the data and voters or voter turnout, it's estimated, this is a conservative estimate, that 1.4 to a million Christians and conservatives of voter age didn't cast a ballot in the 2024 election. I mean, that's triple the number we would need to close the gap that we've lost by in some of these statewide elections. So I don't think the answer is to try and appeal to suburban white women, let's say. The answer is that we need to double and triple down on our right position. And we are the just right, not the far right, not the extreme right or fringe right. We're not Christo-fascist. We're Christian nationalists. And there's nothing wrong with believing in God and country. But we have to triple down on that. And when we triple down on that, then we have to hold our own Christian and conservative community accountable to show up and participate in the process. Or you get people like Peggy Flanagan who tell people like Renee Good to throw their body on the line and then say that she was a victim of a heinous crime. I mean, you know, we know we can't have these people in office. Minnesotans will get to make that decision again. And I'm a son of Minnesota my entire life, born and raised. Hopefully, you know, make your choice, live with your decision. We get the government we deserve.
How did you come to be a conservative, Republican, however you want to label yourself? And I've had a number of guests on the program over the last few years who are people of color who say, hey, you know, it used to be the Democrats felt like they were entitled to my vote, But now people like me and others are waking up. How did you kind of wake up to what was going on in the world and find yourself to the position politically that you are now?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting story and a long story, but I guess the short version is I was born and raised a Catholic. I mean, so Christianity, Jesus Christ, and the Catholic Church has always been a part of my life, whether it was birthdays or weddings or wakes, quinceañeras, you know, whatever the case was, the church and Christianity was sort of a non-negotiable part of my life and my community, my family, on both sides of my family. So when I got old enough to hear political conversations that basically, you know, suggested that Christians should be persona non grata in politics, but in society as a whole, coming from the left, it was a non-starter. And I guess when I was growing, I mean, I'm only 34 years old, right? So when I was growing up and in my 20s, I guess I wasn't engaged in the partisan politics enough to realize that the left's position had become so anti-Christian, because you still have your Democrats that'll say, oh, no, I believe in God. You know, I'm Christian, like Nancy Pelosi, right? She's kind of cosplaying as a Christian. But once it got serious, right around the time where George Floyd died, I realized they really didn't like Christians. So yeah. that kind of pushed me over.
Yeah. A lot of us. A lot of us are there. Royce, I appreciate so much you making time. We'll do this again as we get closer to election days coming up. But a reminder that if you want to see Royce in person, he's going to be at the North Dakota GOP State Convention coming up late March in Minot. So I'd be able to see him there. And as he mentioned, he's active in a lot of media and does a lot of things out there. So you can check him out on podcasts and online as well. Royce, thank you very much for the time. Nice to meet you today.
Thank you, brother. Godspeed to you.
Right back at you. Royce White running for U.S. Senate. A crowded Republican field, certainly, but he's got some things he's standing on that will resonate very well with conservatives across Minnesota. Back with more on the Steve Alstrom Show right after this. Royce White will also be appearing February 20th. So what is that? Today is Wednesday. Next Friday, I guess that would be, at the Fargo Conservatives event. The big gun raffle they have going on. Ivan Raiklin will be speaking. He'll be the featured speaker at that. But Royce will be there as well. Chance to meet him. And Ivan, we had on a couple weeks ago, and he was fantastic as well. So it should be a great night there. Go to FargoConservatives.com and you can find out more about the event and get your tickets there for the big gun raffle. All right, I want to say thanks to those that came out last night and joined us for the Melania movie at West Acres. It was really a lot of fun, and I loved every minute of it. I have some thoughts that I wrote down last night after seeing that. I wanted to do it while it was fresh in my mind. So the act of coming together, first of all, and just getting together with other people who are like-minded is so fun. It just feels like you can, I don't know, you can relax, you can be yourself, you don't have to pretend, you don't have to watch what you say, not that I do that much anyway. But it just feels good to be with our people, and that was really cool. The documentary follows Melania Trump through maybe the 2 weeks or so before the inauguration that happened just back about a year ago, Trump's second term, and goes through all the different things that she did with, you know, outfits and decorations for these big balls that they were going to have, and all the events with the inauguration, and it just kind of walked you through all of those things. My takeaways were in no particular order. Number one, the euphoria that we all felt. It took me back to that time where Trump had won the election and he was going to be back in office. And it just felt like, thank you, Lord, we have a shot at getting this country back. And it felt like we were right on the brink. And I know it's felt that way before, but man, did it feel that way with this election. And it brought me right back there and just how great it was to see Donald Trump being inaugurated. Second thing is the surreal life that she lives. She flies from Mar-a-Lago to New York City for the day to try on a dress. I mean, it's just, you can't relate to her and the president at all. Yet in some way we connect with them when we really shouldn't be able to. And I don't really know that I can fully explain that. I think it speaks to their appeal and how much they can reach out and identify with regular people, even though they are far from regular people. It also stood out to me how much she loves her family and how big her heart is. how classy she was and is to other people. Just the way she treated other people when you know she came in contact with them. And you can tell she's a lover of people. She's got a good heart. And yeah, she's putting on a good face for the camera. We understand that. But some of the footage was taken was original stuff. It wasn't anything you could go back and reenact. So it was genuine, authentic, as it happened footage. And you can see how she reaches out and connects to people even in those times and how much the president respects her and listens to her on at least a few things we saw in the documentary. She has obviously aged remarkably well. She is 55 years old and doesn't look it. I'm sure she has access to the best skincare and health products and all of that, that you could want. But you just have to say both her and the president. I mean, the energy that they show, just the vibrancy they have, the passion they have aged remarkably well. Certainly the president wears it on his face a little more than Melania does, but they have a young spirit. I really picked that up through the documentary. Ladies out there, she was in heels for 22 straight hours on Inauguration Day and on her feet for a lot of that. I have no idea what it's like to put on a pair of high heels, but I just looking at it, I go, oh, my word. I don't know that I could do that for 20 minutes. So she's got some toughness to her feet. She was very cordial to people on the other side of the political aisle or those that you might think would be on the other side. She was classy to the Bidens during the inauguration and the transition. Bridget Macron, which kind of a punchline for a lot of us. The wife of the French prime minister was at that time. But real authentic and genuine conversations. And again, I don't think she's a political animal. I just think she's one that, you know, common sense and loves the country and kind of deals well with everybody. Also in the documentary, you see the power of Trump Incorporated, Trump Inc., the way they get things done, the massive influence they have, the kind of company they keep. It's awe-inspiring. And you don't have to like the president, but you cannot argue with his ability to inject power into certain situations and get things done. The reception they got from the places they stayed, the people that they work with and had working for them, like the White House staff and the place they stayed before the inauguration, the quote-unquote black and brown people, they love the Trumps. And this is original footage. You can tell when someone's being nice to be nice. That's not how they looked at Donald and Melania. I think the biggest thing for me is that I took away is the hope that we have for the country and how the president has reinstilled that. Kind of going back to what I said to begin this. The president was in a planning meeting for one of the inauguration days, and he said, when do I get to go back to making the country great again? Like, when do I get to go to work? And they said, well, you're going to be done by about midnight. He goes, okay, 1 a.m., we can start getting to work. And so the president, they showed that. Melania was going to bed because she'd been up for 24 hours. Donald was going to work 1 a.m. Inauguration Day. We are so lucky to have this guy, and you realize if he can't get it done, it's probably going to be darn near impossible for anybody to really get it done. Had a great time last night. Go see it if you haven't. That's a little bit of a spoiler there, but you'll love it. All right, the Key 3, Hour 2, coming up next. Hour number 2, Steve Alstrom Show, brought to you in part by Custom Truck and Auto Shine. This time of year, even when you don't have a lot of snowfall, storms, freezing rain, that kind of thing, you know what happens. You get the freezing overnight, thaws out during the day, and you get these morning and evening times where it's just a little slipperier than normal. Sometimes you can see it, sometimes you can't. Well, if you end up in one of those situations where you bump bumpers with somebody and it's going to require a little bit of work, I hope you'll call the good folks at Custom Truck and Auto Shine when a collision's out of your control. Their full-service body shop will get you back on the road in a jiffy. Probably the best way to check in on those guys is to go to their website, CustomFargo.com. You'll see all the things they can do there. And set up an appointment, CustomFargo.com, Custom Truck and Auto Shine. All right, before we get to the Key 3, let's hit a couple of emails and texts that have come in. From the text line, Steve, I can't. And by the way, text line is 237-1590. Email, studio@flagfamily.com. Phone line 701-271-1100. So speak up if you got something to say today, something to ask. We'll do our best. I can't relate, it says here on the text line, to the Trump's lifestyle. especially when he thinks we cattlemen should lower beef prices. Yeah, there's that. I'm not going to tell you how to feel about that because I grew up on a hog and cattle farm. I know what that means when prices go up and down, especially when they go down. You remember those a lot more than when they go up. It's no bueno. And I get it. I've got a number of friends that farm. It means a lot to me. Obviously, in this part of the world, farming, ranching is huge. My friends out in Watford City got a number of them that ranch, and these are good times for them. Prices are good. But when the president says, I want to bring in 800,000 metric tons of beef, that's not what you want to hear. I get it. Not going to tell you how to feel, not going to argue your point. If I am going to add anything to this discussion, I would say I will tell you that I'm thankful that no matter what industry I might be in, that we have the president that we have doing what we're doing. And I feel like if Kamala Harris was our president right now, they would be trying to figure out how to kill all the cattle and make us all vegetarians and eat bugs because the cattle, they have methane emissions. And so we've got to get rid of the farting cows. I mean, this is how ridiculous these things are. So, yes, I understand the frustration. I'm not going to insult you by saying you shouldn't feel that way. I'm glad that President Trump has done 95% of the things he's done. I say, hooray, bravo, way to go. And then there's 5%. But it was 5 and 95 with Joe Biden. And it was hard to find 5, to be honest with you. So, yep, get it. I do. I get it. Also from the text line, I hear a lot of complaining from cattlemen for what Trump has done. I haven't heard a single one of them say how to fix it. Certainly not fixing it in less than 2 to 3 years. Yeah, that's the problem. You just can't create cattle. I mean, you need breeding stock. You can't cattle can't have litters. They have one calf. And it takes time to do this. It's not going to be fixed in 2 to 3 years. It just isn't. Now, can we make things better for the cattlemen with, lower prices for fertilizer, herbicide, for, what farming they do, what land they have, if they have to supplement with any protein, can we do something there? Sure. Can we bring interest rates down, insurances down, all that? Yeah, but that's kind of the long way home. When you're stuck in a rut like this, it's hard to get out of it because it just takes a while, and you almost have to hold cattle back to build up stock, but then the supply goes down, and so the price goes up. It's tough. It is. You cannot rebound quickly or easily from what's happened to the cattle population last 15, 20 years. Certainly here in North Dakota, we saw with the droughts and prices where they're at and people trying to make ends meet with inflation. It's a tricky one. There's no easy answers here. I know the president is just trying to lower prices in the grocery store. I hate to say it, but when you're in the minority and cattlemen are in the minority compared to people who go to the grocery store, the president's going to look at that. He is a populist. He's going to say, how can we make things better for more people? And then he'll try to do something for the cattlemen, I believe, in some way. I'd be surprised. He did it with the corn and soy or with the soybean farmers. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I get it. Those of you who have the concerns there. All right. It's 11 past the hour here. Hour number 2, Steve Hallstrom Show. Thank you for being with me today. Great to have you along for the ride. Whether your day is just starting, whether your day is ending and you're getting ready to head to bed, whether you're halfway through, no matter what your situation is, thanks for being here with me today. Whether you're listening on Flag East, Flag West, on the mobile app, smart speaker, on the computer, glad to have you with. And thanks for doing it. All right, time for the key three. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. These are stories that kind of rise above just your normal newsprint and affect us in a way that has kind of one of those factors to it. So there's a lot of candidates here. I'm not going to talk about the jobs numbers. I think you could easily make a case for that today. But I'm not going to throw that in there because I talked a lot about that first hour, so I'm good there. And there's a couple others I want to throw in, but these are the three that I think matter the most today. The FAA earlier today abruptly lifted the order that they put in like an hour previously, halting any flights coming out of El Paso, Texas. So earlier today, they said, okay, for the next 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it was, no flights going in and out of El Paso. And we were like, oh, what happened there? Well, like an hour later, they lifted the order. And the Defense Department says what was going on is that we detected Mexican cartel drones that breached U.S. airspace. And so those drones had to be disabled. Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary, put out a post saying the FAA and Department of War acted swiftly to address a cartel drone incursion. The threat has been neutralized and there's no danger to commercial travel in the region. Restrictions have been lifted and normal flights are resuming. Now, why does this make the top three? I'm sure it was a frustrating morning for many who wanted to fly out of El Paso. By the way, one of the places the Bison football is going to be going in the new Mountain West Conference. So, yeah, disruptive. Nobody likes that. Get it. But do you remember back when Joe Biden was president and he allowed a balloon that was a property of the Chinese to fly over our entire country before shooting it down once it got to the far coast? And I see this and I say, huh, the Trump administration saw a cartel drone incursion and started closing airports within minutes. And once they took care of it, within an hour, they returned normal airflow going on. What a difference. One administration allows China, to fly what, who knows, could have been a spy balloon over the country. It was sending video back. And then the other administration comes in after them, takes out some cartel drones in, you know, 10 minutes or whatever it is. When they tell you that Donald Trump is the worst president in history, hates everybody, can't do anything right, I just wish they could stop and consider stories like this for just a minute compared to what we had for the most previous 4 years. Story number two, the FBI has substantiated some major irregularities in how votes were counted in Georgia's latest urban area in the 2020 election, according to what Zero Hedge says is a bombshell affidavit unsealed by a federal court yesterday. FBI filed the affidavit last month, you remember that, to get probable cause to take about 700 boxes from ballots at the 2020 election in Georgia. The affidavit included information gleaned from FBI interviews that there were about a dozen unnamed witnesses recounting various allegations that dated back to the election. And from that, they feel that they have been able to document major irregularities. These stories, you guys, about voting and election integrity are the only stories that matter right now. I get it, economy, jobs, whatever. We have to make sure we have secure elections, and we don't have much time. And the last story, story number three, the U.S. EPA is about to pull the rug from underneath climate regulation. The EPA under Lee Zeldin is going to revoke the 2009 endangerment finding, an Obama-era determination that six greenhouse gases, quote, threaten the public health and welfare of current and future generations. The repeal could be announced as early as today. This would strip away all of the legal foundation for these federal greenhouse gas regulations for the climate change grift that has been too much a part of our spending and our national conversation for way too long. Hooray, hooray, hooray. Those are three haymakers today that I will tell you are in the key three. When we come back, best thing I heard all day, President Trump doing the smart thing these days, having Caroline Leavitt tell us all what good things are happening in the country. You're going to love it. That's next. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision, Ford, Lincoln, and Wahpeton, 15 minutes or less, and they get you in a new set of wheels or a really nice set of pre-owned wheels. I guess it's new to you, right? Check them out, drivewithvision.com. Best thing I heard all day yesterday was from the greatest press secretary that any president has ever had. Caroline Leavitt is unbelievable. I don't know how her brain can work as fast as it does. She is tough. She is smart. She's got a $1 million smile. It's like she can, you know, rip you and make you feel like 6 inches tall. But when she smiles, I would think that it would make you feel a little better. Anyway, this woman is phenomenal. And one of the criticisms that I have had of not just President Trump, but every Republican president, and probably most elected officials who lead whatever, cities, states, countries, is that they don't message very well. And Trump's probably better at it than most. But I've said for years, like, President Trump should have a Friday, 3 o'clock, 5 minute news dump every week, wherever he's at in the world. Just get in front of the cameras. They'll follow you and say, I want to tell you about what we did, and it's going to be 5 minutes or less. What happened this week that we did for the American people? And he hasn't done that yet. I think it'd be a fantastic thing for him to do. But he has had Carolyn Leavitt do more and more of this from the press secretary's podium. And you know what? That's the next best thing. I guess maybe if Melania would do it. Wouldn't that be sweet? Let me tell you what the president has done. But it, in the absence of Melania doing it, Carolyn Leavitt did it. And I heard this yesterday. I believe this was from Monday, but it was the best thing I heard all day yesterday.
I will just point out that there are a lot of wins in the news this week that people in this room have not asked about, because you continue to ask questions about the same subject. So let me point them out for you. Again, on Friday, the Dow shattered 50,000 for the first time ever. This week, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons came out in opposition to gender mutilation surgeries for children. Amen. They are the first major medical group to do so. A federal appeals court today, nobody asked about that, just upheld the Trump administration's policy of detaining illegal aliens, validating the strong measures that have driven illegal crossings to historic lows, and sent a crystal clear message that under President Trump, if you enter the country illegally, you will be detained and removed. The murder rate, again, not a single question about this, has plunged to a 125-year low as crime falls across the board, thanks to President Trump's crime crackdown. We also saw this week national median rents have fallen to a four-year low following six consecutive monthly declines. And mortgage affordability has surged to a four-year high. Home ownership is the core foundation principle of the American dream. And I will repeat that mortgage affordability this week surged to a four-year high, but not a single of mention of that in this briefing room today. And again, this came out last Friday, but for an unprecedented ninth straight month, there were zero illegal border crossings at the southern border. So we're going to get back to business. The president is very busy today, and you will see him all tomorrow at the event in the East Room touting his administration's energy policy. Thank you.
Huh. Well, I guess he has been doing something good. If you ask a liberal, what do you think Donald Trump has done that you could even make a reasonable case would be positive for the country? They wouldn't be able to tell you any of that because they're not focused on any of that, because the people in that room are not focused on any of that. They want to ask the thing. And I get it. I understand. It's a for-profit business. But just remember that these national news organizations, it's scripted drama. It's not meant to give you what you need to know to make sense of your world or give you perspective from multiple angles. I tell you about Star Tribune all the time. Like, if you looked at StarTribune.com, that website, you would think that Donald Trump's approval rating was 5% because he can't do anything right, according to them. And you know what Carolyn Leavitt did not say? Now, this wasn't specific to last week, but she talked about the border and crossings. We just had it reported that preliminary estimates for overdoses, drug overdoses, were down about 25% in the 12-month period that just ended. So you've got that. And again, she could sit up there all day and talk about all of these things. You know, it's not a bad idea, friend. I have done this myself. I have written down a list of Trump's accomplishments. I keep it here because it's nice to refer to as I'm doing the show once in a while. But sometimes it's easy to forget all the things that President Trump has done. Even people that are center left, I have a friend who's center left, and he said, you know what, I've got to even tell you, I don't love all the stuff that Trump is doing by any stretch, but you can't argue that the guy has gotten a lot done. And he didn't want to say it, but a lot of good stuff done. So good job, Carolyn Leavitt. Good job, President Trump. Keep telling the American people the good things that have happened, because we'll keep playing it here, and many other places like this will do the same thing. So love all of that. All right. A question from the email line. Steve, there is Facebook traffic going on, so you know it's correct, haha, that Dave Pepcorn is going to soon announce his run for mayor of Fargo. and North Dakota Young Republicans meeting yesterday. That was also brought up. Have you gotten any official announcements? You know, it's funny you should mention, thank you to emailer David for sending that over. I don't think that was Dave Pepcorn, different David. We have heard rumblings of that as well, but Dave has been very tight-lipped about this. But I'll have to give him a call and see if we can scare something out of him. But that has sort of been what's rumored for a while. Nothing official, but thank you for letting me know. There are some stories that, so anyway, Carol Levitt, best thing I heard all day. There are some stories that I don't tell you on this show. And it's not that I feel like you need to be protected from anything. If there's something you need to know, whether it makes anybody look good or bad, or whether it's good for conservatives, bad for conservatives, if someone on our side screws up, I don't mind saying it. I make mistakes. You do too. Why do we sit around and admit like our candidates are not perfect? Why can we not be honest about that? But there are stories out there today in a number of the local media about some protests that happened at Davies High School yesterday in Fargo. And, you know, Fargo is what it is. You're going to have more diversity of opinion on things than you're going to have in McCluskey. So at Davies High School, there was, depending on who you listen to, between 25 and 40 students who did a little picket, little march in eighth period yesterday. A lot for a lot of the kids, the school said the school day was done. I continue to say, as long as it doesn't interrupt school, as long as the kids are doing what they got to do in the classroom, you're not disturbing anybody, and as long as you know, you're not destroying property or insulting other people, I'm fine with a school protest. When you're young, you got to kind of puff out your chest. But the problem is you don't usually know a whole lot about the issues that you're protesting. And certainly that was the case yesterday. And some of the quotes I saw from the kids about, you know, ISIS going into people's homes and tearing kids away from their mother's arms and deporting them, it's just lies. And probably they just hear what their friends and their media echo chambers want them to hear. So I'm not going to report. I'm not going to tell you in the news today there's a, because young people are going to protest. That's fine. I've heard it said, you probably have too, that if you're a liberal or if you're young and you're not a liberal, there's something wrong with you. If you're old and you're not a conservative, there's something wrong with you. These kids will learn hopefully over time, hopefully. But I'm not going to report it as though it's a major news story. I just am not. It's just kids that don't know any better. And that's good or bad either way. So, all right. We've got coming up still a lot of ground left to cover before we finish up for the day. Greg Wrightstone is a climate change analyst, and he says there is no climate crisis. We're going to talk to him about that coming up next. Big news coming out of the EPA is that Lee Zeldin's administration is planning to revoke the 2009 endangerment finding, which we talked about earlier in our program. And this would strip away all of that legal underpinning for the greenhouse gas regulations. And this repeal could come as early as today. Unbeknownst to me, when I booked our next guest, Greg Wrightstone, author and speaker on climate change, did not know that this would happen. But what great timing. Greg, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah. There's a lot going on. A lot of it's good over the last year. And this, it's called the endangerment finding. It was first created in 2009 under the Obama administration's Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. And what it did was it found that carbon dioxide, the molecule we call the miracle molecule, they call it the demon molecule. They determined that carbon dioxide was leading to unusual and unprecedented warming, climate crises, and it could be because of that. It was called a pollutant that could be regulated, and boy, have they. They've used it, not just the EPA, Department of Transportation, many of these other alphabet soup government agencies have used this endangerment finding to regulate everything. All of your listeners, if they just look around, if they're in the living room or kitchen, just look around. Just about every appliance you use, ceiling fans, washer, dryer, your dishwasher, all of those have been regulated based on this finding. Like for let's say your dishwasher, you can't buy a dishwasher these days that'll do the dishes in less than, often 2.5 to 4 hours. And it's because of carbon, they want to conserve water and they want to conserve energy to cut down on carbon dioxide emissions. And They say it's a highly efficient. Well, my wife would disagree with them. Mm. She defines an efficient dishwasher as one that will get the dishes washed, dried, and ready to go in 30 minutes or less.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
3.5 hours. But yeah, Carolyn Leavitt, the spokesperson for Donald Trump in the White House, announced yesterday. It looks like it'll be they're going to announce it tomorrow, and bear in mind, it's only this particular ruling that they're going to repeal only deals with cars and light trucks. There are other bills that are coming up that deal with stationary power sources, is what they call it. That would be like coal-fired power plants, natural gas-fired power plants. And so this deals with that. But if you think of this as a house of cards that climate change has been built on, you're pulling out that lower card, and the whole house of cards come tumbling down. So it's really exciting. It's for those of us that have been in this fight for many, many years, this is what we've been after.
And fantastic.
But bear in mind, too, just because they repeal it doesn't mean that it will go through immediately upon their announcement of the repeal. You're going to have all these other environmental groups, National Resources Defense Fund, you know, Friends of the Earth, whoever. They're all going to be filing appeals.
Of course.
And then once the appeals come in, it'll probably go to the Fifth Circuit in D.C. where it'll be heard. And since they're mostly liberal-leaning judges, it's very likely that they'll rule that no, EPA can't do this. And then EPA says, okay, we're going to appeal that ruling to the – it's going to end up at the Supreme Court is what's going to happen.
Great.
So we're probably a year and a half or so from we're not at the end. We might be at the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning, but it's going to be a little while before this is finally resolved.
Well, we're in the fight, and at least there are good things happening. Greg is a geologist and executive director of the CO2 Coalition in Arlington, Virginia. He wrote a book not long ago called A Very Convenient Warming, How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Benefiting Humanity. Greg, I want to take it up to a real surface level, because you're a scientist. You look at data, information. You see it at 10 levels below where most of us can go. And this is a hard conversation for a lot of us to have, because we're told by the left, well, there's all this research, there's all this data, there's all this science that proves that carbon dioxide is doing all these horrible things to us. You have said in your research there is no climate crisis. Give us, if we're at bowling night with our buddies, or we're in the truck on the way to hunting, or at family dinner at Easter or whatever, and we've got everybody around the table, give us at a very high level something simple and something clear that we can use for our argument to say, you know what, I don't believe it, and here's why. Because most of us can't handle all the data and all the research. Give us something simple to hang on to as we try to build a conversation with others.
Yeah, and that's what I'm here for. And that's the beauty of my books. My latest one is, although I'm a scientist, I make it easily understandable for the non-scientist. So here's one, would be, we're being told the carbon dioxide levels are increasing, and they are. But they're too high. The fact of the matter is, we're at some historically low levels of carbon dioxide. We're at about 430 parts per million. I'm not going to give you a bunch of numbers, but we're at 430 now. The average throughout Earth's history has been 2,600 parts per million, 6.5 times what we are today. Most of the plants and crops that we rely on for our sustenance first appeared when CO2 levels were 4 and 5 times the level they are now. So these plants need higher levels of CO2 to get the optimum growth potential. And so if the plants, and what the key here, look at agricultural productivity. I like to point to that. And agricultural productivity, they're breaking records in terms of bushels or tons per acre. Year after year after year after year, from the coldest countries to the hottest countries. And that's because the combination of modest warming, and we'll talk about that in a moment, the combination of modest warming, which means we have longer growing seasons, which is really good, and for farmers, agriculture, and it's turbocharged by increases of carbon dioxide. And as you learned in middle school, photosynthesis, what's it need? Water, sunlight, and carbon dioxide, and the more CO2, the better. And that's why the old wives' tale, and it turns out it's not a wives' tale. Well, I talk to my plants, and they grow much better when I talk to them. Well, that's because when you're exhaling, remember, we're about 400 parts per million, you exhale 40,000 parts per million every time you breathe out. And so what that does is increase the CO2 levels that your plants need, and they grow faster. And that's why they add CO2 to greenhouses, because those these plants, if it's a really sealed greenhouse, you don't want that, because unless you add CO2 to it, because the plants will bring that CO2 level in the greenhouse down to very low levels, suboptimal levels. And so the key here is we don't have too much CO2. We don't have enough. Mm. We're actually CO2 impoverished right now. And we talked about it being warming. Are we in a warming trend? You're darn right we are. But it started more than 300 years ago in the middle of the what was called the Little Ice Age. And so we had the first 250 years of that warming trend, 200 years, whatever, occurred at very low CO2 levels. And it only started increasing in the middle of the 20th century to any great amount. And so the first 250 years that all the warming occurred, it wasn't due to CO2. It wasn't due to man. It was an entirely naturally driven warming. As we see, looking back over the last 10,000 years, there were nine other warming trends that looked very similar to what we are. And they were all at low CO2 levels and were completely naturally driven. And so what we see in my new book, I really go into it, into my first book, we documented that there is no climate crisis. And in this new book, I documented that not only is there not a climate crisis, but by almost every metric we look at, Earth's ecosystems are thriving and prospering, and humanity's benefiting.
Not a bad place to be.
I call it the greatest untold story of the 21st century, that of a thriving planet and increasing of the human condition improvement.
Mm, interesting. I'm a simple guy, Greg, and I'm not a scientist. I don't have any research, but I just use my brain to say, how could you ever prove the basis for what they say? We've got to do all this. We've got to spend all this money because the climate is going to kill us and we're boiling and all of this. And I say to myself two things. Number one is that you cannot prove that the temperature would be any different today where you and I are sitting than if a human being would have never set foot there. There's just no way to know this. And then the second thing I say is they say that they want to do all these things and the Green New Deal, I think it was $50 trillion or something. That was 10 years ago. Well, you're talking probably hundreds of trillions of dollars, and they cannot tell you what will happen if you spend all that money. And for me, those things are non-starters.
Exactly. And think about this, too. These alarmist scientists and government officials, they're very confident that they can accurately predict what the temperature will be in 2050 and 2100 to within one-tenth of 1 degree. Well, they can't do that for 3 days ahead. And they're also, think about this, right? They can't do it. It's ridiculous. They're lucky if they get it within a degree or three. And think about this, too. They're also saying we can't let it get a degree and a half warmer from what it was before the Industrial Revolution. Okay, well, it's already warmed 1.2 degrees Celsius. So what they're warning us about, we can't let it get 3/10 of a degree centigrade warmer than what it is right now, or it's going to be climate crisis, the game's over. Well, think about this. 3/10 of a degree centigrade equals about a half a degree Fahrenheit. Mm. We get more warming between the 11 a.m. and noon every single day than what they're warning us about climate catastrophe. And if you're worried about a half a degree Fahrenheit of warming, move 17 miles farther north and your average temperature will be half a degree Fahrenheit less.
There you go.
Problem solved.
Greg, I love it. Where can people find you online or on social media?
Well, my new book is A Very Convenient Warming. It's been very, very popular, a good seller.
Okay.
And if you look for it, just search for convenient warming.
Convenient warming. Got to leave it there, Greg. We're out of time.
Okay,
heartbreak. Sorry
you.
About that. Thank you for the time, sir. Back after this. Fargo police have called a press conference today for 1:30 in the arrest of a Fargo man in relation to the murder of a West Fargo woman. We talked about it earlier in our headlines. Fargo PD is doing a press conference at 1:30. We're going to take that live here, so just know that that's coming your way here today. It sounds like it might be a significant press conference. So want to keep bringing you the news, and so we're going to do that here today. So that'll be with us at 1:30 today, and then the Jay Thomas Show right after that. Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton is hiring in their sales team. That could mean the job of a lifetime for you. You can make a lot of money just by helping your friends, neighbors, coworkers, whoever, find the car, truck, or SUV they've been looking for. And service techs at Vision Ford Lincoln make more than anywhere else in the five-state area. No weekends, full benefits. Sounds pretty good, right? Vision Ford Lincoln, not just a place to buy a great set of wheels, it's a place to put your service career in overdrive. Go to drivewithvision.com to find out more. That's drivewithvision.com. Sometimes it's not so much what you say, but how you say it. We had Congresswoman Fedorchuk on the show yesterday, and to be honest with you, I was disappointed in her answer about voter ID. Now, Julie has been a warrior on this issue. Don't get me wrong. She was behind the SAVE Act, voted for it, when it went through the House back last spring. She has been very clear that she wants that act to go through. I love that about her, and I think she's right on the subject. But where I feel like she is missing an opportunity as much as anything else is to go to the people of North Dakota and say, this is so important to me that I will do whatever I can to get this through. In my mind, there's not a bigger issue here than election security, voter ID, poll integrity and accuracy. It means everything, because if we cannot trust that we have fair and accurate elections, then what does any of the rest of it matter? If someone figures out how to cheat well or game the system, they're going to win election after election after election. And there's a lot of me that wonders if some of the elections that have happened before have been fair and honest elections. So I asked the Congresswoman yesterday, if it came down to shutting down the federal government on a spending bill like Ana Paulina Luna was in favor of doing, would you do that? I know it's hypothetical, but would you go that far for this particular issue? I was begging her in my mind to just say something like, hey, you know what? There's a lot of things that we'd have to take a look at. And what her answer was is, I can't say because we don't know what I'm saying no to if I say yes to this, is basically what she said. Now, she's right. That's a mature, responsible adult answer. But it's also the political answer that drives me crazy sometimes. I wanted to hear her say something like, you know, Steve, you're right. This voter ID thing, the polls are off the charts supporting it. Democrats, Republicans, black, white, Latino, everybody wants this. And it is the most important issue in a midterm year that we make sure that we have fair and safe and secure elections. So I hate to say that in every single case I would do it, but yes, it's that important to me. If I felt like the government had to be shut down over this, I would do it. Now, I don't know why she couldn't say that. And the fact that she didn't makes me a little worried that maybe she doesn't believe that that issue is as important as I do. Maybe I'm wrong. That can certainly be. Wouldn't be the first time, won't be the last time. But there are times when I know the mature answer is to say something else more politically savvy, but I want to know that you're fighting for us on issues like this. And I didn't get the answer yesterday that communicated to me that she's fighting and will fight on this issue. I get it. She voted the right way. She's behind it. She said it's a matter of, okay, how important is it to you? And to me, darn right. These issues about spending, these issues about voter integrity and accurate and fair elections, there is nothing more important than these things. And darn right, I want you to shut the government down if it means we have to do it in order to get these things across the finish line. That's all I wanted her to say. I asked her twice. I went with a follow-up. She would not say that. again, gave the responsible political answer, and maybe I'm off on this, but I had hoped that there was a way that she could have said that a little differently, a way that could have been said a little better. I've heard Anna Paulina Luna talk about this subject before, and I really like the way she has talked about it here. And now that I've been kind of setting up the story, I'm taking a look at the clock. Realize I only have another minute left in the show here, so let me try to pick up this midway through.
If Thune's going to do it, could it possibly, real quick, could it possibly backfire if you gave the Democrats a stage like that to do a big heroic talking filibuster? What do you think about that?
I think the one thing I'm finding out about Senate is they're notoriously lazy, which is why they move so slow. And so, I mean, eventually they'll probably run out of life force in an effort to do that. But, you know, again, voter ID is one of the most important issues in the world. So even if, you know, you give them a platform, I don't care. I want it signed into law. And I think that if that's the way that you have to do it, then so be it.
Yeah, she's talking about attaching it to other legislation. I like the fact that she said before, I will shut down the government over this. You will not get my vote. Now, she ended up, it ended up getting through. I don't know how she voted on that, but I like the fact that she's saying the right things and seems to have the right urgency. All right, my friend, have a great day. Keep on flying that flag. Scotty's next.